Bring it up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going Devin Smith. Got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! Grand Rucker for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3. Yes!
This is the Buckeye Show.
Presented by Schottenstein Roofing. For top quality and a price match guarantee, visit schottensteinroofing.com.
All right, here we go on a lovely little Tuesday episode. T-minus 2 days and counting until the first round of the NFL draft. We're going to have all your coverage right here at 6 o'clock. And then Tyvus and I are going to do a NFL draft preview special at 7, leading you right up to the number one overall pick, which we widely expect it to be, Caleb Williams to the Chicago Bears. Bodeman is back there. It's good to see you. And like you just heard, your friend and mine, another night in the house with Tyvus Powell. Hey, buddy.
I'm honored. Two nights in a row. I haven't done this in a while, Timothy.
I think we're looking good. We're feeling good. We're about to talk good. You've got the sort of stone. Is that a good color for that? The stone homage script Ohio.
I would have called it gray, but
yeah, it's heather like gray.
Yeah, a whitish gray.
It's a stone gray because it's got like the flecks in it. And then I'm wearing the electric blue and powder blue Kansas City Royals satin starter jacket.
Nice jacket.
I appreciate that. I feel good in this jacket. It's got a very, very over exaggerated collar. When I flip the collar up, man, I feel like anything can happen.
Well, this is not the 70s. What are you, in Greece? They don't do that anymore.
I'm just wearing the jacket that they gave me. This was a Christmas gift from my wife. Good taste, right?
This year?
Last year or the year before.
Okay, yeah, she's good.
Yeah, pretty good, right?
Great pick. It reminds me of my Guardians one.
Pretty good, right? So my NFL draft profile is now up at the Buckeye Show on Twitter next. My quarterback profile.
What did you put your, what day did you, will you be selected?
Well, that's for everybody else to decide.
That's for you
and for Bodie or for all you guys to decide that. Yeah, that's why I offered my suggestion on you. I certainly don't think I'm going to be drafted. But hey, maybe you think differently. Maybe you see that I can sneak in as a late round pick. 6 feet tall, 205 pounds.
You're only 6 feet.
6 feet tall. I know. The height's an issue.
I thought you was like six, I know. 1.5.
Oh, man. Thank you. I forgot to put on there, too, the Kenny Pickett hand syndrome.
Poor release point.
That doesn't help.
Quick feet can be annoying in the locker room, but high energy.
I mean, is that false? It's true, right? I might get under skin.
You did yourself no favors with this.
Oh, well, we're just trying to be honest, right? Honest assessments. Look, there's some things going on here with the Buckeyes in the NFL draft. We talked about Marvin a lot yesterday, and something else popped up with him. I love hearing about the apparel and shoe deals that phenom athletes are about to sign, right?
Yes.
And this is certainly a unique one. It almost reminds you, now I'm not going to envision or think that it's going to turn out that way, but Michael Jordan did take that leap of faith with Nike to have the whole thing repurposed around him.
Well,
and the movie was great, guys. If you didn't see that flick, I would recommend it. But Marvin Harrison, he is inking a multi-year deal with New Balance. How about that?
That's interesting.
New Balance. And they've started to, I saw they got Cameron Brink, is that her name?
Oh, yeah.
The very tall, blonde.
Stanford.
From Stanford. That went high in the WNBA draft.
Number two pick.
Very popular. Yep. So they got her. I think they've got Jack Harlow that appears in those commercials.
I know that,
am I right on that, Bodie?
I'm pretty sure they got they got Darius Garland.
Kawhi Leonard, too, right? I couldn't tell you on Jack Harlow. I'm not
Kawhi.
Up to
Kawhi Leonard was like the first one to go there.
That's a big fish that they got.
I know Darius Garland because I watched him yesterday play it. I'm like, this man signed a New Balance. It's got the big little N on it.
What about country music sensation Darius Rucker? How about him?
That's a good pick. That's a great pickup by them, actually. So they're on the rise.
No, huh? No, that didn't happen. I was just piggybacking off of Darius Garland.
Oh, my goodness. I thought I was sure. Listen, you know, I don't know.
Come on.
You know, I did not know that New Balance.
Hold my hand.
Like, I knew New Balance did baseball cleats, but I never knew they did football cleats.
Well, they don't. That's the thing. That's what is going on
so
here.
So this is new.
Yes, of course. So more of the details.
I don't know
The kickers here, I don't have the terms and how much money Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to get paid through this, but he is just the third football player and first offensive player to ink with the company. Chase Young is one of their guys. I didn't realize that. Will Anderson Jr., one of C.J. Stroud's buddies now. The other, you know, it was C.J., what, 2 and Will Anderson Jr., 3 in last year's NFL draft, and he had a good rookie season. And he's going to be helping debut the company's first ever football cleat, American football cleat. So he literally is getting in on the ground floor, as are Chase Young and Will Anderson Jr. With these New Balance football cleats. It's just a different kind of brand. You and me, it would take a lot. We would take way less money to get on Team Nike.
Absolutely.
We would do whatever it took.
But you know what, though? If I don't know what his deal is, how much he's getting for this, but if he should have asked for equity. That's what he should have did. Just in case it takes off. Because if it takes off.
If it takes off, right?
Like
Jordan
with
Nike.
I would ask for some equity first.
Maybe he did. Maybe he did.
I would think so.
Is he that big, though? He is in everybody's mind a generational wide receiver talent.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a generational quarterback talent, maybe that gets you an easier look, especially if you're going to go with a company like New Balance, who is down in the pecking order from Nike and Adidas and Under Armour and all those big guys on the block.
Well, wide receiver is a very popular.
They are very popular.
I mean, he do his own dance or something like that. Like he can become a big name in the NFL. I mean, obviously he's already the son of a Hall of Famer, so he plays the perfect position. Obviously, you know, you had like an Odell Beckham. Now you got Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, got Waddle. Like you got guys that's created a personality. Tyreek Hill. Like those guys are big name guys that's public figures that everybody recognize for the things that they do on the field. Marvin Harrison could be that guy. So yeah, he can. I would have for sure asked for some equity, because if he is the guy that everybody projects him to be, he will make New Balance a lot of money.
Because of Bodeman's relationship with Notre Dame, he's always wearing Under Armour gear. He looks like he doesn't even love that. He looks like he's a scout today with the little logo on the crest there.
He wishes that it was Nike. Tell the truth, Bodie.
Honestly, I don't care. I couldn't care less. I don't know why anybody does care. I still do have some Adidas, though.
Wait a minute.
Why do you care? I mean, it's one of those things. I can still remember when Kansas abandoned Nike to go to Adidas. I was kind of crushed about that because
really?
They had that elite status. It was just something cool about that.
Okay.
Back when Nike put that label on your jerseys, it would say elite.
I guess if I had this quarter zip on, if it had a Nike swoosh instead of the Under Armour, I'd be, you know, I don't know.
I associate you, though, with Under Armour because you will buy Under Armour clothes probably not even thinking about it. Your shoes, your shorts, even when there's no Notre Dame logos on it.
Yeah, I mean, I have some brand. Nike stuff, though, too. I just own way too much Notre Dame, so it's mostly Under Armour.
It's that UA.
Bodie, would you wear Adidas socks with Nike shoes?
Yeah. Oh, switching things
Are
up?
You, yeah. You can't do that. Okay. I'm going to let you know. So you cannot do that.
Are you going to buy me new
it's
shoes?
It's a cardinal sin.
You don't do that?
What?
You wouldn't switch brand? You're wearing a New Era cap and a Homage hoodie.
What'd that mean?
And you're wearing Air Jordans.
What that mean?
It means your brands are all over the place.
No.
And it doesn't matter.
No. Don't do that.
You're
don't
just talking about big athletic companies you can't mix and match?
Yeah, you can't do that.
You couldn't do Reebok something with Nike.
I ain't wearing no Reeboks unless it's the questions. That's the only Reebok.
The AIs?
Yeah, that's the only shoes that I wear.
I had the slip-on versions. You know what I'm talking about? I had the red and gray AI answer slip-on shoes.
Yeah.
Nobody had those.
What a time. But yeah, and the questions is the only
I have a Champion t-shirt on right now under the Under Armour quarter zip.
I love Champion making a sneaky comeback. I'd sign with Champion.
Yeah.
They could get
Sometimes
me.
Sometimes you got to go back.
Yeah.
I don't even go forward. I don't even know who you two are anymore.
You got a problem with Champion now?
I'm wearing
beautiful little
Listen, I'm
scene.
Wearing Jordan shoes with Jordan socks. See that? That's dedication right there.
What kind of pants you got on?
Jordan.
Are they Jordan pants? All right. Okay. All right.
College basketball.
Look at Tymus. Just beautiful. Hey, I do want to say in seriousness, big Buckeye Show shout out to Ohio State wrestling coach. This man's a legend, Tyvis. Tom Ryan got in to an automobile accident on his way into the office today.
Really?
So, I mean, there's not a whole lot of details on how he's doing, but when, you know, they put out, just because they put out non-life-threatening injuries in the release, doesn't to me say that this couldn't have been a very serious car crash.
Yeah, no.
And if he had to be transported to the Wexner, I just, you know, and they're going to throw out in the release too that our thoughts are with Tom Ryan and his family. Oh man, you hope that he's going to be okay and that he'll get back to work. And he's such a great coach, and that is one of the best programs around the Blocko at all times.
Yeah, hopefully it's nothing too serious. Maybe it's just he got bruises or something like that, and hopefully it ain't no broken bones or nothing like that. And he can get back to work because we need him out there for sure.
Yeah, as they were making their stretch run down the end of the season here, he came on Buckeye Roundtable, I want to say it was, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And my goodness, I mean, we actually talked about the Sammy Sasso story.
Yeah.
Of how he had started to show back up around the team and around the facility. He was recovering from a gunshot wound. Mm. And so the team was devastated over that and what a brilliant career he had. Mm. And now this happens. So again, like, big Buckeye Show shout out and warm wishes. And we hope that he heals up. Tom Ryan, Ohio State's wrestling coach. There's a word that used to mean a whole heck of a lot in sports, and I am wondering if it's now nothing more than a rare trait. We'll tell you what that is next. Tyvis is in. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone.
Fan.
Buckeye Talk and the latest updates on Ryan Day's beard. You're listening to the Buckeye Show.
Timmy and Tyvis, all you fine Buckeye fans, hope you're having a great Tuesday. Man, what a week we got here. Before I talk about this, though, what about this potential transfer for Ohio State basketball?
Mm.
Down to two now. Yeah. I've been tweeting about this guy for a few weeks now. I don't want to overbuild the hype. Sometimes you like a guy, right?
Yeah.
And you focus on a few mid-major teams and then Oakland. For whatever reason, well, the reason was they're a good basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Campy up there has been a 40-year guy, and this was finally his team, and he got that moment, and that's cool to see for programs like that catch the moment. And they beat Kentucky, and they sent Coach Cal in a way packing. He didn't get fired, but everyone hated him there.
He went to Arkansas.
Yeah, so much so that he went to Arkansas.
One player.
Jack Golkey is the guy that got everybody talking because of the three-point shooting, and I get all that, but Trey Townsend was their engine. He was their motor. He was the guy that made everything happen. He had almost 40 points in their conference championship game, and me and Jack and Sarah, the whole fam, I got a night to watch random college basketball. It was like a Tuesday, when the small conferences play.
Mm-hmm.
They get them on ESPN, and I got a few minutes to watch some college hoops, and I flipped that one on for 8 or 10 minutes, and since the Buckeye game, because Ohio State outlasted this team first game of the season, that was really the first time I had sunken back into watching that team. And I'm like, wow, this team can play. This guy, Trey Townsend, can play. You got an 18-8 guy, the mid-major national player of the year. Potentially could be a Buckeye here in a couple of days.
That would be big for this program for sure. I mean, you get another guy that has that type of scoring ability, that can hit threes like that. You pair him up with Bruce and Michi. Oh, that's now we're talking about some major moves. I mean, similar to how the football team addressed their offseason, it seems like to me this basketball team is trying to do this similar fashion where they're trying to go all in and trying to do everything they can to help Jake Diebler in his first full season as the head coach. Mm. And I think that if you can get a guy like Trey in here, man, that's what an energy boost. I mean, you could get more people coming to those games. This team will be electric. You already got a good coaching staff. I think if they get that chemistry down, they can be a dangerous team, especially having a guy like Trey who essentially defeated the odds by beating Kentucky in the tournament and having some success in the tournament.
Yeah, he had 17 in that game, and then he had 30 in the next game against NC State, even though they lost. And Of course, the Wolfpack went all the way on to the Final Four.
He plays big.
Plays big.
Yeah.
And he's one of these thick guys.
Mm-hmm.
6 foot six. I mean, you're trying to not be a thick guy.
No, yeah, no.
So but I think you wear it well. I think the look is good. 6 foot three, 245 pounds.
No,
this guy's 6 foot six.
Good.
6 foot six and 212 pounds, but he didn't look 212.
He's a stick.
He looks like he carries more than that.
I say
no on that weight.
I can loan Can't him. Be. I can loan him 20 pounds.
Right? I mean,
I wish that was how it worked.
Could you have given some back to Zed?
Yep.
Didn't need that.
Zed was a good rebounder. And if he would have developed
Could have been better.
If he developed that outside shot, he would have been, his career would have been a lot better.
All right. So what I wanted to, you know, the subject I wanted to broach here with everything that's been going on, and we didn't hit on this enough yesterday, and this one hurt. The very second that I saw that Roddy Gale was visiting Michigan.
Mm-hmm. He was at the spring game.
Boy, oh boy, does this have so many levels to it, components, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Dusty May winding up at Michigan and how much success he has had in the last week,
yeah,
bringing in talent through the transfer portal, you are seeing, and again, I was never going to hate Dusty May getting the job here. I think where I was at the time was thinking bigger. Yeah. And then, of course, Ohio State winds up doing what they do, and they went with the in-house hire of Jake Diebler because they weren't seeing a whole lot of difference with what their view and their vision was for the program. They said, why wouldn't we just go with our guy who is wowing us,
right,
and he's right here, almost like what Ryan Day was doing for Gene Smith when they handed him the keys after Urban Meyer was done. But it's just weird how this has gone. And there's something about not just leaving, but going there, right?
Yeah.
And I know we just had a football coach do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We had it a basketball.
Seems to be the new fan.
I don't know, man.
You can't do that. I'm gonna just tell you that you cannot.
Tell him.
You pick a side and you stay there. There is no flip. Don't we got a linebacker that just did that for us? He transferred here. Wasn't he a walk on? What is his name?
I think you're right.
It's a linebacker.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't think of it off the top, but I think we just did.
It would be a major depth player.
Yeah.
If it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't, you got to pick a side and stay there. Especially playing in that game and seeing the energy and the hostility there. Like, you can't, like, they're not going to fully accept you, like, because you already was on that other side. Like, so it's like, there is no Switzerland in this rivalry.
So the word is loyalty, you know? That's the word.
Mm-hmm.
Loyalty. And it's not to say that nobody has it. It's not like everyone is abandoning their squad and then going to their arch rival to finish out their days. And again, sometimes I get how life can roll and you want to take the best opportunity that is available for you. I'm not saying that you must be a bad guy if you wind up doing it. It just seems that we are in this spot now where the system is set up to allow this to happen, to allow for this lack of loyalty to flourish in today's game.
I just feel like I would have never, even if this was a thing, I would have never thought to go there. Like, now, don't get me wrong, they weren't good at the time when I was playing, but even if they were, like, I just don't think that you do that. Like, it's so many other places that you can go and get the same productivity and get better. I don't see why you want to go there. Like, unless just things just ended so bad and you want to do it for revenge or get back purposes. Like, that's the only way I can see this. Like, did something happen with Roddy and the rest of the team that he's like, you know what? I'm going to see y'all later. I'm going to go to the enemy and I'm going to get back at y'all.
Do you think
that's what this is about?
I don't think so. I don't think so. He was a starter. He was starting at the end of his true freshman season. He started all year, and this was going to be the biggest year of his development because in his freshman season, he only averaged, 10 or 15 minutes per game?
Yeah.
He was a 30-minute per game guy, so this was the first time he ever went through a college basketball season with that much usage.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. That would, you know, so that would lead you to believe that this next offseason would be the biggest for him.
Maybe he thinks Dusty May is just an unbelievable coach, and that's probably why he wants to go there, because he wants to learn from another coach.
I don't know, man. But then again,
I'm sure he'll address it someday.
That's where you get back into, boy, though, of all the fish in the sea, of all the teams. And this was not like the Andrew Dockage situation where he goes from Michigan back to Ohio State, where he was a bench player, mm-hmm. a depth piece. He wound up giving the Buckeyes some really good stuff for the 1 year he was here.
Yeah.
He was also a graduate student. Mm-hmm. He didn't have much eligibility left. And I don't even think Michigan was honoring his spot for the last year. So it was like, okay, well,
I gotta go for the
best absolute fit.
I would have to know what other schools he was. Like, what was his decision down to?
I know. I would need to know that, too.
Because
you know that he had some offers.
Yeah,
He's a 13.5 a game guy in the Big Ten.
If the Wolverines was his best offers, then I get it. You know, that makes sense. But if you had other schools, like, some blue blood schools, I don't understand.
I knew that he would be getting a great spot. I really did. I knew he'd be getting a great spot, but the fact that it's to Michigan, oh, that's painful. Really painful. I want to tell you about my friends from Tri-State Men's Health real quick, because you know those two words, Tyvus, that you don't want to be hearing, erectile dysfunction. No, 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 sorry, Bob. We need erectile function, and my friends there can help in that department. You can visit them at tristatemenshealth.com, or you can call them at 800-900-9654. So what you can do is you check them out online. You can schedule up a consult there. It's only $99 for the first visit. You get everything done for you, and if medically advised, you'll get a test dose. If that doesn't work in the office, your visit is absolutely free. There's stigma. There's bad feelings about it. I know you don't want to talk about it because it's embarrassing, but don't let it get to that. Don't let it destroy your relationship or the special times in that room upstairs, or sometimes it's on the main floor right now. Who the heck knows? I don't know how your house is designed, but you could do that wherever you want. It's your own home, for God's sakes. Just close the blinds. Try to remember. Tri-State Men's Health treatments work when the pills or the herbals fail. Success rates with some treatments well over 90%. So check them out, tristatemenshealth.com. Two wonderful locations right here in Central Ohio, the Hilliard one and the guy over in Westerville, or call them at 800-900-9654. We're going to keep talking some basketball. A loyal friend is going to join the program, Joey Lane, to talk about a wild and crazy period with Buckeye Hoops, and we'll see if he can tell us something that we're missing. That's next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
Common Man and T-Bone are idiots. You should listen to them anyway.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan, Ohio's idiot destination.
Done.
Stickers on helmets make us happy. This is the Buckeye Show.
Timmy Hall, Tyvus Powell, and we are about to open up the Bryant Heating and Cooling Products Fan Guest Hotline. Our man straight from Chicago, former Buckeye basketball captain, Joey Lane. Joey, how things going? Chris Holtman and DePaul, and you're going to be there to go to all the games.
Yeah, things are good. I am, Buckeye first and foremost through and through, no doubt, but I feel like I just keep collecting more teams to root for, and DePaul quickly rose to the top of that, I don't want to call it a B-tier list because that's not fair, but that alternate tier of fandom. The Blue Demons are high up there. I got some more red, white, and blue in my wardrobe now for sure.
And you can be a Max Strus fan because Tyvus loves Max Strus and he's a Blue Demon. Now Holtman's there. I'm just connecting things. Just making it a nice little triangle, basketball triangle there, Tyvus.
No, because I'm mad at Joey, because Joey is not my best friend. And until he gets on here and admit that him and I are besties of friends, he's just the guy.
Oh, Tyvus, it's good to hear your voice, man.
You as well. Joey, let me ask you about this basketball team. Obviously, amazing. You know, it's some guys that's hit the portal, but we've gotten some guys out of the portal. What do you think of the new additions to your Ohio State Buckeyes basketball team?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, how crazy is – I mean, are we going to say this every offseason? How crazy is this new world of college basketball? I mean,
yes.
It's crazier and crazier each offseason. I mean, Tyvus, it's wild for college football, but there's definitely – I mean, there's too many guys to change teams every single year. In college basketball, like, dudes are changing teams every single year. You have completely new teams, even UConn, who won the national championship back-to-back years. They don't have many holdovers from their first championship to their second. It's really remarkable, and it's going to take some getting used to. I've got a group chat going with managers from Ohio State, friends from Ohio State, players. We're all in a couple of different group chats, bouncing stuff off each other. And
okay,
you know, we're definitely old man yelling at clouds a little bit, because we missed the days of growing old with our players and you know, having 4-year players and guys that make lasting impacts on the university and all that stuff is fun, but maybe a way to think of the past besides a guy like Bruce Thornton now, basically. But I like the team. I like the roster. It's really, really talented. It's really, really talented. The holes, there are still holes that need to be filled. You know, we'll see with the Oakland's Trey Townsend, if we get our, you know, stretch four wing score type of spot filled there. But the transfer from San Diego State, the transfer from Kentucky, all these guys are talented, talented guys. Bradshaw is the highest rated recruit in the history of Ohio State basketball. The highest rated recruit. I mean, it's remarkable. So
it's crazy. He's got like Quinn Ewers status now, Joey. I hope he stays longer than Quinn.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Hopefully he has a career at Ohio State, unlike Quinn did. So, it's wild times, man. I mean, like it is taking some major getting used to. The rumors I hear every single day from players doing this, doing that. I mean, like, just to guys give you guys an inside look at kind of what goes on for a random former Ohio State basketball player. I knew Luke Goody was going to Indiana 5 days ago. Like, I mean, it's just crazy how it's like the worst kept secrets ever now with these guys transferring. There's no rhyme or reason. There's tampering left and right. It's just insanity.
Joey Lane is with us, our good buddy, former Buckeye basketball captain. So give us your feeling on Felix Akpara and how you had a 2-year guy and certainly one of those pieces from that recruiting class that you wanted to keep. Bradshaw comes in, he's gone. What do you think happened there? Or are you trying to put yourself in his shoes and the decision that was made?
Yeah, you know, I feel like what happened and putting myself in his shoes may be a little bit different. But I think my umbrella statement is, if you were in his shoes, wouldn't you feel like, and maybe this isn't the right way to look at it as a competitor, you can say whatever you want, but wouldn't you feel like your feelings got hurt a little bit, right? I mean, you're bringing in what looks like on the surface a carbon copy of you, a 7-footer who's super athletic, who's long and a little bit raw on offense. I mean, isn't that Felix Akpara to a T? What everyone heard was that Felix and Bradshaw would be playing together at times or all the time, but they were going to be playing together. And Bradshaw was brought in to play alongside Felix, which truthfully, I don't know if I ever believed for a second, but
what was
being said. But there had to be an element of, maybe it was people in Felix's ear, maybe it was Felix himself, maybe it was Ohio State, that they came to the conclusion of, hey, Felix, if you want to leave, no hard feelings. Or maybe it was, you know, in this day and age with these agents and people's families, who knows what they're saying. You know, they might say, Felix, if you leave, you can go make $400,000 more somewhere else. So you might as well leave and go play 30 minutes somewhere. You know, it's just an interesting dynamic. And you could speculate 8 different reasons why he left. But I keep coming back to the fact of, he finally was in a position when Zed transferred where he was going to be the guy, and he knew he was the guy, and he was going to get better, and he was going to shoot threes, and he was going to be an NBA player after the season, right, in his eyes and in Ohio State's eyes. But when you bring in a guy like Bradshaw, who, whether you like it or not, is probably going to take away some of those minutes, this is what could be a result of that.
Now that they're getting Michi Johnson back, how do you think that affects Bruce Thornton?
You know, Ty, this is so funny because we talked about the roster, and I didn't even mention Michi because I feel like, even though he obviously hasn't been, I feel like he's been on the team because he was already.
Mm-hmm.
And Michi was coming to practices and games like when I was in school. He was a freshman in high school scoring 50 and then coming and playing pickup with us the next morning in the fall. Like, just crazy stuff. But Michi and Bruce, it'll be interesting. I don't think Michi needs the ball in his hand a lot to be successful like Bruce does, which I think they complement each other well in that sense. But I also think there's an element of giving Bruce a quote-unquote breather and letting him play off the ball as well. You know, Michi has the size of, you know, a point guard, right? He's not an NBA prototype two guard, but we all know his best ability is scoring the basketball and specifically shooting. And for that reason, I think Bruce and Michi fit really, really well together. And you have to think that Michi had a huge draw to Ohio State because he was going to be a part of one of the best backcourts in the Big Ten straight away.
Joey, we always appreciate the time. You helped calm me down a little bit. You're right, though. We do just have to take a few more years to get used to this, where every offseason we'll say, oh, my God, this is insane. Like, you can't have a team from 1 year to the next. That's the way it is. That's just how it's going to go for a while. But I want you to have a good meal at Portillo's the next time you stop Ooh. There. And when you bite into one of those juicy Italian beefs, just think of me and Tyvus.
Mm. You got it. Consider it done. You don't have to convince me to do that. That's for sure.
Joey, Phillies in six. Sixers in six.
Oh, yeah? Come on, Tyvus. Let's focus on your Cavs first, okay?
I love it. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's Jalen Brunson. That's his guy. If anyone didn't know where that stupidity was at the beginning of the interview where Tyvus has to make it, I love how he makes it so awkward, too, Joey. That's what he's good at.
From the beginning. Every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Time. Just people who are, like, chiming into the interview for the first time, like, what's up with these two guys?
No, you just think you know a guy.
They actually
too.
Love each other. It just you know a guy. It came from Joey being friends with Jalen Brunson, and Tyvus thought that he was his most high profile friend.
Joey's in denial. Jalen Brunson is his second best friend. He just don't want to admit it in public.
Oh man, hey Joey, I got to catch up with you soon. I'm gonna have some golf texts for you in the near future. I got the trip coming up that I'll be telling you about real soon.
I love it. Can't wait. I got two rounds this weekend for you, too, Timmy.
Beautiful.
So we'll be in touch.
Beautiful. Joey's a stick on the course. Play well, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it, as always.
Yep, no doubt about it. Joey Lane, Buckeye Hoops captain, used to co-host on this program many, many, many times, and he decided to move to Chicago. So we have to talk on the phone right now. That's how it goes. The duo of Buckeyes in the transfer portal have landed. Tell you about their moves as we take you on the trail next. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
This promo is brought to you by Common Man and Timmy Hall's Ping Pong Game. The Fan. The best kind of power is star power. Let's go on the trail.
Sponsored by Whiskey War, by High Bank Distillery. Drink local, drink High Bank.
Timmy and Tyvus, rocking and rolling with all you fine Buckeye fans on a Tuesday. Tuesday nights, we talk about Buckeye football recruiting. It's the lifeblood of any good program, Tyvus. Ain't that right?
It is, actually. And we always love to keep up with people on the trail, see where guys are going, commitments, transfer portal, all of that good stuff, the juicy stuff.
Well, times are good for the Buckeyes on the trail because when you get Tim Walton up and running, just like Brian Hartline has been doing.
Yeah.
Then you're winning with the wide receivers, and then you're winning with the defensive backs the same way you were. Mm-hmm. With the wideouts, it's unbelievable, right? I mean, you look at the 2025 class, it starts with 2 5-star cornerbacks.
Isn't that great?
And they're looking at another guy. I was reading on 11 Warriors for a recent visit here. Dorian Barney, he's in the class of 2026, which is a class that only has Chris Henry in it so far.
He's 26, Chris Henry?
Yeah, that's an early
25.
No, man, 26, Chris Henry Jr.
Yeah, we've been talking about him for like 2 years.
Who we wondered, right? Was he done growing yet because he's still so young? Could he be like a 6'11" receiver to where he actually decides, it's too much. Like, I got to switch to basketball and be like a Chris Bosh, like shooter from the corner type of guy that can do it all. We could take him on the basketball court and on the football team if that turns out, though.
I wonder if they
get a true two-sport guy.
Do you think they would allow that to happen?
I mean, it happened in the past. I get everything's different now, right? As part of what we're talking about.
The 70s? They ain't letting you do that.
No, I'm talking about like in the 2000s even. Julius Peppers was on the North Carolina basketball team. Ronald Curry is a better example. Like, he was a legit player on both teams. You remember him, right?
They not let that happen.
You
got to be, if you want to be.
JT Tuimoloau, remember? He was supposedly going to take a look at Holtman's team.
You got to be so dedicated in football or in basketball this nowadays to be successful that it's hard to do, you know, that too, just in college. In high school or in middle school, yeah, you could do that. I actually would suggest that you do it there. But in college, like, it's so much dedication and hard work to be good, just to even be good in college.
I think it's something that if it's your passion and you want to do it, I would hope to see it again, you know?
I'm sure somebody gonna try.
Those stories are fun, right? Like, it's the athletes, like the Deion Sanders of yesteryear, and Brian Jordan, right? That's fun. Charlie Ward.
It's usually the other way around. It's usually some basketball player that doesn't go to the NBA that decides to play football. Somebody says, oh, we'll take you, play you at left tackle or tight end or something like that, and boom, they take off.
That's fun, too, just to see that transition for a guy to say, you know, I didn't play much organized football, at least not in my college years at all, but I am an athlete and I can do it.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about you actually do get to see a guy suit up in the colors for his university in two separate ways. It would just be neat to see. But back to what I was saying there, Garrick Hodge was writing about Dorian Barney's visit. He said that it was probably one of the best visits I've been on so far. And his bond with Tim Walton is, shocker, close. So he's one of the top cornerbacks. Some of the services you look at, he's ranked number 3 at the cornerback position, a top 35 player overall in the country. So somebody that's becoming a big priority for the Buckeyes for 2026 as they start the ball rolling on that class.
That's crazy that they already planning that far ahead. That's let you know why they are successful in recruiting. So how many people in the 25 class?
The 2025 class, which, as you know, or maybe you didn't, is the number one ranked class in the country right now.
I believe it.
Has, why don't I get a number? It's got 13 in the class so far.
I wonder how many they, usually what they get, 7, 16, 17?
It just depends. It depends. Notre Dame, for example, has 19 commits right now and is ranked 2nd in 2025. So the Boatman's guys are nipping at the heels.
Mm. Not looking for the best players, Tim. Look for the right ones.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Owen Freeman.
Look at you.
And Herb Brooks.
Does it still get at you that you didn't have the right number of players on the field?
No.
For those final couple of...
You know, we're just so focused on beating Texas A&M right now. That-
yeah. We've just got it one foot in front of the other,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Just keep the focus where it has to be. But Tyvus to the portal, Ohio State lost 2 guys, and we've got the landing spots now for those 2 players. What do you think about Dallin Hayden's decision to go out there and hitch his wagon to primetime Colorado?
I mean, it's a good opportunity. Obviously, you know, Deion is going to be in front of a bunch of cameras, and their team is going to play a lot of nationally televised games. And it's a program that's still trying to build their way up. So you can be a part of a change. Obviously, they got Shador. They ended up getting the number one tackle last year, I think, in high school, I think. Jordan Seaton, I think his name was. So they're building it up. And for him, obviously, you get to learn from Deion and, you know, be over there in that nice environment. It's a good fit for him. He'll be probably the feature back, hands down. I think I seen there Colorado's running back, Edwards. I think he got into the transfer portal once Dallin committed. So right now it looks like he will be the guy.
Still a lot of movement, right? I mean, it's year 2 for Deion Sanders, but we were just reading how many guys and a lot of their offensive linemen, too. So that's definitely something that Dallin Hayden is going to need. You're going to have a solidified offensive line. He is a great player, and we got to see what he could do when he was called upon in the Purdue game and the year before in the Maryland game. We know what that red shirt just sort of sent a message to us last year, and now he's gone, but it turns out to help after the fact in that he saves that year of eligibility, and now he gets to go on and have a change of scenery. Who knows how much of his time in college, who knows how many of his years he's going to wind up using, or is he going to get an opportunity to go to the NFL draft before his time is done? We will see. The other guy, too, and this is crazy that it's just these 2 guys so far. And Dallin Hayden, by far the bigger name, but defensive back Cedric Hawkins, he left a little bit right after the spring game. And he is going back to his home state of Florida in what I think to be a nice landing spot for a player of his caliber in Central Florida. So Central Florida, you know, got into a bigger conference.
Yep.
So they get to be in the Big 12. And Hawkins was, look, he was recruited here to Ohio State, so clearly you know, they saw some big things with his potential. This is probably a guy that you're going to wind up seeing do some things for the Knights.
I mean, listen, he went back to Florida, where the state that he's from. He'll probably play his heart out there. Central Florida, they develop some nice talent, so he can still have a path to go to the NFL. He'll play some really good games in the Big 12. And I think he'll have a nice career. He can still make it to the NFL from Central Florida. So I think that's a good place for him. Obviously, now that you're back in your home state, you have more family that can come to your games and stuff like that. I'm sure he'll show out there.
Yeah, that's the – they were the national champs.
Oh, stop it.
Just a few years ago, I believe. Scott Frost.
The fact that you got to do that tells me everything I need to know.
Undefeated – undisputed national champs.
If you got to claim your national championships in that aspect,
I believe they have a banner.
Everything I need. That's even worse.
I believe they do.
That's even worse.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing now. Hey, they wouldn't let him in. They wouldn't let us to the party. How do we know?
So Florida State should hang a banner.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Well, no, they actually played an extra game.
If you lose by 60.
Central Florida must not have played another game.
They beat Auburn in the...
They had a bowl game.
Or whatever it was,
And they won. Yeah.
Florida State lost. Florida State lost by 60. 6-0.
What they should have done is just...
16?
They should have not played and then hung a banner.
Yeah. 13-0.
They beat them so bad that Kirby Smart was like, we got to do something about this. That's when you know it's bad.
You had the opposing coach shaking his head and not feeling great about things. Oh, my God. It's just such a shame. Winning a bowl game and coming into the press conference room depleted, right? This just isn't right. It's not right. There's a quarterback on the market in college football, and Tyvis Powell would be envious of his measurables. We're keeping our finger on the college football pulse. Next, it's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
If you don't like listening to Morning Juice, Bobby Carpenter's man nipples will punch you in the face.
For real.
You want to fight, do you?
Weekdays from 6 to 9.
It's time for the College Football Pulse on the Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by Carpenter Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electric.
Need heating, cooling, plumbing, or electric? Call a Carpenter.
Timmy Hall, Tyvis Powell, all you fine Buckeye fans tonight here on a Tuesday of NFL Draft Week. So good to have you guys along for the ride. The Boatman is here. This is his segment. Any other night, it could get you, Bodie, but not this one.
Not tonight. We will start with Big Ten quarterback news. Just a massive, massive player heading to the transfer portal here.
I like this guy.
Iowa quarterback Deacon Hill. He started most of last season for the Hawkeyes after Cade McNamara got injured. He has entered the transfer portal in his 9 starts last year with Iowa. He threw for just over 1,100 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 8 picks. So we got to get the touchdown-to-interception ratio flipped over there, but... What do you guys think is next for him? Maybe
what are we doing?
FCS?
He's getting dinner.
What are we doing?
That's I think is
get a job.
I think he's getting a double cheeseburger.
Why?
That's what's next.
He's going to go pro in something other than sports.
See this right here.
Could be a chef.
This is exactly what I be talking about. This is a prime example. You need to just stay where you at. Like, why do you think hitting the transfer portal is the better option?
Well, they probably told him, honestly, like, hey, you know,
that don't mean you gotta do it.
True.
That don't mean you gotta do it. Like, I'm not about to leave Iowa to go to the FCS. Like, that doesn't make sense. You know who else did that? The one quarterback from Minnesota, Ethan Kaliak-Manis. And I was like,
Kaliak-Manis.
What are you?
Nailed the pronunciation there.
Yeah, it's because
you're a pro.
Because he's on BTS.
I was on the Big Ten, so I had a pro. You know how long it took me to learn that man's
probably
name?
Why.
Oh, my goodness. But when he hit the port, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, why would you leave Minnesota where you're the starting quarterback to go somewhere else? Like, and you, I don't, it, they make, it's bad decisions sometimes. And that, this Deacon Hill, maybe they must have told you wasn't going to ever see the playing field again. Like, that's the only way I can see you transfer.
That's, again, why you want to be a fly on the wall and know what all those conversations are. Because there has to be some interesting sidebar stories, right? Like, why would that guy leave Minnesota? Where else is he going to go that's going to better his situation other than if PJ Fleck and some of the coaches there said, you've got to go. We hate you.
You got to row on
Yeah, we've got to row your boat down another river. Yeah.
Even if they did say that. Oh, that Cadillac, man, he know where he transferred to?
I don't know.
Rutgers.
Really? Within the conference.
Wow.
Interesting. But, Greg Schiano wanted it. But Tyvus, wait. Man. This guy, this QB, what did we put Tyvus down for his quarterback profile on our Twitter page yesterday at the Buckeye Show?
6'3", 245, right?
6'3", 245. Wow. Like, that's a rock
that's
of a
man.
Quarterback,
that's
right?
A man.
You are not, you don't want that guy
quarterback.
Tucking the ball and the read option and then running straight at you. Well, Deacon King of the Hill, he's 6'3". Care to take a guess what his weight is?
Oh, he's a big fella.
255.
258 on a good day. I just say he's 270,
here's
275.
A guy, 6'3", 255.
Yeah, here's a guy right here, Deacon Hill, big body. Yeah, not exactly the best completion percentage.
I am so interested to see where he goes. I actually
are you?
What's his stats again? What was his stats last year?
Just over 1,100 yards in 9 games. I can't do the math quick enough on that, but 1,152 yards, 5 touchdowns, 8 picks. So
it's not terrible. It's not terrible.
In today's age, if you can't throw more touchdowns than interceptions.
I mean, they'll say, well, who did he have to throw to?
That's true.
Which is fair.
Iowa offenses.
That's fair. Somebody would take a flyer on him. Like, you got to at least bring him in.
Can't teach that size.
That's true.
Maybe he can move to fullback.
Or like hey, boy, Michael Robinson.
I did see, I think, I lost another guy. Remember their QB, Spencer Petras? You guys know where wound up?
Oh, no clue.
No clue. You would never get this. He is leading the Utah State quarterback competition following their spring practices, which wrapped up here couple of days ago. They don't do a spring game.
The Aggies can't get that one together.
It ended on April 21st. We're done with spring practice, everybody.
That's probably a sign, right?
Good way
like
to
Dallin
do
Dallin Hayden goes to Colorado. Iowa's, you know, starter, former starter. Not that Dallin Hayden was a starter, but their players go to Utah State.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
That makes sense. There's a little step down right there, but I don't know what Iowa is going to be this year with where their offense has been.
They got a new OC, right?
I don't.
Yeah.
They had to fire.
Well, they've been living in, you know, nepotism land for God knows
Jake
how long.
Jake can't hire John Deere.
Jake Deere
fans can be the offensive coordinator in Iowa.
We can't hire a son of Ohio State, but Kirk Ferentz is allowed to have Brian Ferentz, you know, set offense back into the Stone Age.
I'm trying to figure out who
destroy Iowa football.
Who is Iowa's quarterback? Cade is done, right?
I don't know.
I think he had.
I thought he was a grad. He wasn't a grad senior when he got there.
Yeah, it's probably Cade McNamara.
I think pretty early, so he might have saved the red shirt.
Yeah,
I mean, they give out extra years nowadays to anybody.
You're right about that.
All you gotta do.
He's the guy. Because he got hurt, and that's who they're banking on there. Deacon Hill got in with the injury, so that's where they're going with that. All right, that's enough of Iowa football crap. What is next,
that's
buddy?
What they need.
They need Tristan Jebbia.
That's right.
He's out of eligibility, right?
I know.
Like he was out of eligibility when he came here.
Brings tears to my eyes.
Next up here, this one from CBS Sports. The top coaches facing the most pressure to win this fall in 2024.
I think it's going to be your guy, right, Tyvus?
Oh.
Ryan Day, number one,
you think
right?
He's number one?
We're about to find out.
They did put him on the list. As I sort through it here, it wasn't necessarily in any specific order, but nevertheless. Ryan Day, Billy Napier, Lincoln Riley, Kalen DeBoer, year one at Alabama.
Kalen DeBoer,
hey, man,
1 year?
You better start winning. Yeah.
Well, look where you are. Like,
yeah.
Look at the act that you follow.
Exactly.
That's a tough job.
It wasn't necessarily hot seat, just pressure. Pressure to win, which I think is not unreasonable.
I'm saying it right now. He's not making it to his sixth year at Alabama.
Oh, yeah, I would probably
not
take
get
the
to
under
year six.
Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah, 5.5. What's the over?
I would
I'll
take
go
the under.
I'm going 3.
All right. Well, that's even worse than me. Okay.
Quick.
So he's going to be a complete disaster, is what you're saying.
A few more here on the list. Mario Cristobal, Dave Aranda, Coach Prime, and James Franklin. Deion's on the list. They only won four games last year.
I don't know.
Outside of maybe Ryan Day, any names you would add? Anybody on that list that you say?
Oh, I knew Lincoln was going to be on that list.
Yeah.
That's fair.
James Franklin's kind of interesting. He's probably not like a hot seat, but it's just like at some point, you can't just keep going 10-2 and losing
to
Ohio
State,
Michigan.
He's like Marvin Lewis when he was with Cincinnati. He's going to get you to the playoffs every year, but they're not going to win the game.
Yeah, and they probably will.
And
now
it's like you get tired of that. You want somebody that can take you over there. He did a great job of building that program up to a good spot. Now they need to get them a guy that can take them all the way. Because they have the talent every year.
See if you guys can read my mind on this one. Not on the list. I'm thinking of a name.
Sherrone Moore.
It might. No, it wasn't Sherrone Moore. But it is a Big Ten name.
Matt Rhule.
That's a good one, but not him either. Because you might think this is unjust. But all we're talking about is putting some pressure. Right? You could be a good coach. And we could be putting a little bit of pressure on you because of what our expectations are for you to succeed and to perform at a very high level. I'm gonna throw Luke Fickell's name out.
Okay.
That's
a good one. Yeah, that's fair.
No, I'm just saying,
was
man.
Year one. When did they finish?
I know it was year one. I'm not nailing the lid on his coffin. I'm just saying I could apply, if that's all the sake of the argument is. You said name another guy. Is there someone not on the list or someone on the list you want to talk about? I'm thinking of guys in college football. I expect a lot because of what he did at Cincinnati. But when you step up and you're playing bigger competition, you're in the Big Ten now. It's the SEC and it's the Big Ten. Can you take Wisconsin, who was always kind of one of those next-tier programs, but still a really good reputation, right? Mm-hmm. Better than Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Right below Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State.
Yeah. It was due.
I think Wisconsin
and Michigan State.
And I think
Michigan State. Yeah,
it doesn't have to be 11-1, right?
No,
it's just
got
to go
I'm
from
saying,
7 wins to 8 or 9. Like you got to take a step forward.
No, he got to get
wanna,
to double digits.
You want to be double digit wins? I go with Tyvus. That's a program where the standard I think is getting those double digit win seasons.
He has two more years before.
If you don't get a 10-win season,
because you got to think. When he got there, these is not his guys. Like, he's got to get his recruiting classes
of course.
There. He's got to get the transfer portal guys that he want. Like, last year, he kind of just took a couple of guys out the portal, and he just tried to make it work with what he had. You got to let that thing establish. You got to get your recruits in there. Then you can assess the guy. You can't. It's hard to just take over a program and right away get them to be really good.
Yeah.
Even though they started off the season very strong last year.
And we know you don't get any time anymore in college football to do anything, right? You've got to go. You've got to go now.
Kalen DeBoer, 2 years. If that's the case.
Okay. DeBoer. Why? You know what? I don't even know why.
Just Kalen, fire him now.
Yeah. Right? Just fire him now.
Restart the coaching hire. Searching process.
No.
Get it out of the way.
I also don't know what this guy is.
We're done being great.
I don't know what James Franklin is.
To me, they are
where
now,
they go with that.
I think you have to be in the playoff on a regular basis.
If they don't make the playoffs,
12 teams, you do need to make a playoff either by next year. If you're not in a 12-team playoff, I've had enough and seen enough of James Franklin. If I'm a Penn State guy,
they made the playoffs for teams like Penn State. Like, you have to be. You can't be the 12th team.
Yes, they do.
You got to cut it out.
It's like, well said.
Yeah.
This whole system was designed for someone like you to be in it.
Yeah.
More often than not.
And then
Florida
go
States,
from there.
Penn State.
Where do you play when you get in? Are you competitive?
Sure.
That stuff can vary a lot.
Right. This is for, Oregon to get into the playoff. Those types of programs.
Oregon didn't make it once, though, and they were very close last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, even they've kind of gotten further than Penn State has.
It will be interesting to see what becomes of Texas and Oklahoma. We haven't really talked a lot about them and the fact
they got
that
Arch,
they're
so.
Going to the SEC,
you see what he did
though.
In the spring game?
Yeah, I know.
385.
What's that
yards.
Say for the DBs, though?
Oh, well, worry about that later.
All right, good stuff there. Bodie, that was a nice job. You won.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah. You don't have to take the test. I don't need you to do it. Tyvus, he's always got lots of things that pop into his head after the prep sheet is done. So this next segment, Tyvus is going to go off the page, and it's going to be on the subject of the NFL draft. and how you go about your ways as an undrafted. I can't wait for some of these stories. It's coming up. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan. College radio done by professionals. This is the Buckeye Show.
Timmy and Tyvis, all you fine Buckeye fans tonight, we are indeed sponsored by our friends at CareSource and by Schottenstein Roofing for top quality and a price match guarantee. Visit schottensteinroofing.com. So I specifically didn't put something on the show sheet tonight because we wind up doing all this prep. And then throughout the show, Tyvis will just be yapping during so many commercial breaks and we'll get so much more content that I struggle to fit it into the show. So tonight, we were talking through a lot of these commercial breaks about this being NFL draft week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's talking to me about, you know, where he thinks some of these Buckeyes are going to go and where they're going to wind up. And I keep talking back to Tyvis about how, like, that's you. That's what I find interesting about you. Somebody like me, and I hope I'm speaking for a lot of the listeners, but you living out your dream, but also it's not going exactly like maybe you dreamt it.
Yeah.
As far as a superstar goes, where you sign with a team and you get that gigantic contract, but still, when you have dreams at night, you're having these little memories of playing in the NFL and buckling a chin strap for the Seattle Seahawks or the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
And just hearing you giggle like that, you're wearing some of the uniforms, some of the threads of some of the most famous franchises in sports. But yet, it was hard work. And I know some of these Buckeyes, they're not just going to get drafted. And we'll kind of log some picks and how many we think are going to go in the next couple of days here before the NFL draft preview show at 7 o'clock on Thursday. But that's what I find unique about you is you played for different teams, but you got every ounce out of your career before you started doing this and transitioning to be like the rest of us, a media guy.
You know, I fought that. I don't consider myself a media guy. I'm a former athlete. But no, I mean, my journey in the NFL, obviously, you know, it's like the world works in a certain way. And just when you think you arrive, life has a funny way of just humbling you again. And I say that because all my life, I always had to work for everything. Now, I literally worked for everything. Like, starting in high school, you know, I started working out, doing all these crazy workouts just to get the Ohio State offer. And then at Ohio State, you get complacent. I got complacent my freshman year, had to talk, and then I had to work again to become what I ended up becoming.
Urban gave you like a little quick convo about,
it was a little ultimatum.
Might want to look to transfer.
Right.
Right?
So I had to start working again. It was like, all right, back to what got you successful? What got you to Ohio State was working hard. So I started doing those things again. And now when you make a couple of big time plays at Ohio State and you know that in your heart, you know that you're good enough to go play professionally. And you take that leap of faith, even though everybody says, no, I don't think you should go. As a matter of fact, everybody said I shouldn't go, except for one person, Coach Coles. Coach Coles was like, you can go play in the NFL right now. You'll be good. Everybody else was like, you probably need another year. But I'm like, you know what? When you're ready, you're ready. So I ended up going to the NFL and signing my name into the draft. I get invited to the combine. I do well at the combine. I do everything that you're supposed to do. Hit the benchmark numbers that all the good players do.
You got the famous Google image of you with your tongue sticking out.
Yeah, you have a ball.
One of the drills. What was that drill where you like catch the ball a million different times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you get to draft night and you hear everybody say, oh, you'll probably go somewhere between third and sixth round, somewhere in there. Hey, cool. You live with those odds. And, you know, on top of that, before I even left, Greg Schiano was like, I said, you know what I'm going to do before you enter your name in the draft, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to some of my friends, and that's GMs, and I'm going to see where they have you projected,
right,
where they would select you.
Some good, you're hoping for some next level kind of intel.
Right.
Yeah.
And he comes back like a week later, he's like, all my friends tell me that you'll go somewhere in like the third and fourth round. That's where some of my GM friends said they see you going.
Mm.
Greg. So he said, you can live with, I was like, oh, I can live with those odds. So you go into the draft and you thinking, all right, somewhere between 3 and 6. Cool. And as those rounds go on and on and on and on, you start seeing all your teammates go. And it was so exciting just to see them all get drafted.
But
and then you get to you and everybody's like, all right, where you gonna go type thing. And I'm just like, we'll see. And obviously the draft goes on and you get to round 7. And at that point, you get to round 7 and it's like, I really don't even want to be drafted no more. I'd rather just pick where I want to go.
Because really?
Yeah, because if you get drafted.
Do you think that was almost like a giving up on the draft? Like you just wanted it to be over?
You wave a flag. After the 6th round, it's kind of like.
Speaking in the same way, you would prefer to have a 7th round draft call.
No, because if you get drafted to a place.
So you can pick your destination.
Exactly. I wanted to pick a place that I think that I can succeed at. When you get to the 7th round, it's kind of like, it's no point. What's the point? Just to say you got drafted?
Being Mr. Irrelevant would have been cool. And then also, eventually, if you're a 7th round pick and you don't work out, you get released, and then you're right back there being able to choose your next spot.
Then another thing that gets you upset is then you start seeing people that haven't even played football. I think it was a guy from, like, Germany or never played football a day, and it was like, well, he got drafted. And I'm just sitting there like, is this what we doing now? So, anyways.
Marcus Hunt comes in, and you're like, who the hell is this guy?
So, anyways. You know, I don't get drafted. The phone starts going bananas. And, you know, you get all these teams that's interested in you. And it's just like, all right, why interested now but not during the draft? But anyways, you pick where you want to go. And you got to do it fast because they're ready to move on. They need an answer now, because if they're not going to get you, they need to get on the phone with somebody else and try to get them. So I ended up selecting Seattle. And life as an undrafted player, you know, obviously in Seattle was a good pick because I got to see guys that was undrafted that had success in Seattle that made the 53-man roster. So it made sense for me. And to be in the LOB and to learn from some of those guys, like, that's something that you just can't get anywhere else. And the best part about it is, although my career it didn't go the way I planned it, the thing that I can look myself in and smile about is that I literally did everything I was supposed to do. I'm talking at every workout, at every film session, stayed after practice, did work, got with the veterans, worked on my technique, picked their brains for stuff about football. And the thing about it is they respected me so much to the point where it was like, sometimes they even said, like, I don't know why you're not playing. Like, when I left Seattle my first year.
They couldn't figure it out, right?
Yeah, they was like, if you ask a lot of my friends, like a lot of people that I played with, you're like, how was Tyvus in the NFL? They'd be like, he was actually really good. He was actually a good player.
It's crazy. It has to come down to just the simple, like, it's not to put you down. It's like the traits of.
It's just a numbers thing sometimes, but
yeah, it's numbers but who's making how much money, and it doesn't necessarily mean you couldn't be one of the best.
For example, when I was in Seattle, when I had got cut by Seattle, I wanted to come back. I didn't really want to go anywhere else, 'cause at that point I was like committed to Seattle. And I remember talking to Sherm about it, and Sherm was like, why do you want to come back here? Like, he said, what you going to, you going to be my backup for the rest of your career? You need to go somewhere where you can play. And I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. So, like, when you have, like, veteran guys, that people that you admire, that tell you, like, you're good enough to be a starter, like, you're good enough to play in the NFL, like, that was refreshing. And that's what I live for, to hear, to have the respect of my peers. Maybe I didn't get it from all the coaches, but my peers respected me a lot for the hard work that I did. And they seen the talent and they seen the potential. It was a head scratcher sometimes, but it is what it is.
All right. Well, in the next segment, There's a part of this where a normal guy like me has wanted to know something about just the life of moving around, bouncing around to several other teams, that I got to ask you about, and maybe what advice you can roll in to some of these Buckeyes that are about to go through it in a couple of nights here. Tyvus is in. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
Matty Ice is currently bathing himself in creamy jalapeno dip.
And I've officially run out of ways to tease this show. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan.
Shun.
Preseason, midseason, offseason. We keep on rolling. You've got the Buckeye Show.
Timmy Hall, Tyvus Powell. You guys want to talk to us at the Buckeye Show on Twitter and X? I've got my quarterback profile up there. We did Tyvus yesterday. I'm checking in at 6 feet, 205 pounds, tiny hands. We got the Kenny Pickett syndrome going right there.
You got to wear gloves.
Absolutely. I need a gloved hand, especially the football that we're using in the video, too, is from 1983 from a Pittsburgh Steelers-Cleveland Browns game. So let's just say there's no grip on that thing. It's just smooth, genuine leather.
It's hard to throw a spiral with that.
Very hard. It's hard to grip it. I can't. You know, I just can't. So I've got a poor release point. You could check it out. You could check out the drop back, doing the three-step drop and the release. So there it is. But, Tyvus, we left off talking about your journey and from draft night and how you expected to be drafted. It didn't happen. And then the journey that ensued and just the life, which some of these Buckeye players, that's just how it goes, right? If you want it, if you want it bad enough, you're going to commit to it. And you're going to take a camp invite and you're going to try to get your shot that way. And look, you can have a long and fruitful career if you get your opportunity, you get in the right system. A lot of that is just time and place, right? And getting the right kind of break. But I've always wanted to know, because when I see where your career started with the Seattle Seahawks in 2016, and you talked a little bit about that and some of the friends you've made, and Richard Sherman, one of the most famous defensive backs of the last 20 years in the NFL. You could call him up any second.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we haven't had him on the show, but there's like the wall there with the relationship. You call him up any second, he's there. You were with the Seahawks, the Browns, the Colts, the Seahawks again. The Niners, of course, from 17 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
Jets, Niners again. Texans, Cowboys, Denver Broncos. That takes us up to 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Four seasons from 16 to 20, all those teams you heard, and then a little stint with the BC Lions in Vancouver.
Yes.
How do you do all that and not at some point get discouraged? Or how do you battle through that?
Well,
how does it go?
Well, I don't get discouraged, because the thing is you taste some success. That's the thing. The question for always has always been, and will always be on a lot of people's mind when they play, is, do I belong here? Am I actually good enough to play here? And when you go out there and you experience some success, it's like, yeah, heck yeah, I belong. I make plays. I can make plays in the NFL. If I do what I'm supposed to do, I can be as good as anybody. And you get your peers and you get your coaches that say the same thing. Like, you actually as good as anybody. So for me, the dream was, so when I got, before I went to the NFL, I made this list of all the things that I wanted to accomplish. And because everybody said, if you write your goals down, like, you'll be more committed to them and more dedicated to them.
Gold jacket.
Yeah. So I used to see I used to see the goals, because I set some high goals.
What were the highest?
Oh, it was get drafted, become a starter, sign to Jordan.
Oh, wow.
Become a pro bowler, then all pro, then defensive player of the year.
Woo.
Yeah. That was like.
No gold jacket.
I don't think I went down that far. I would, once I accomplished them things, I would have started to reset my goals. So that was what it was for me. And it was just like, listen, I love this game. I love the game of football. Like, I dedicated my entire life to this game. It's, football has done things for me that I don't think I've ever would have done without it. You know, I got to go to I got to go meet the president. I got to win a championship. I got to travel across the world. I got to eat at fancy places. It was like a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I got to meet my wife because of football. So it did so much for me that I always wanted to pour myself back into it. I always wanted to give back to the game, because it did so much for me. And I never got discouraged, because to me, it's like, I know I'm good. I know that I'm good. I just need that opportunity. And
well,
once I get that opportunity, it's over.
I guess my perspective, trying to imagine it, you know, and put myself in your shoes, you're going through that time in your life and you're still so young, you know, and you still have so many things ahead of you. And while you want that so bad, and you had those goals that you talked about,
it reminds me of when I was in high school and my guidance counselor, Miss Brennan, I'll never forget her.
She said you were crazy for thinking about that.
She
or
said
one of those things.
It was always that conversation. What do you want to do with your life? And I said,
I want to make it to the NFL.
I will play professional football. And they would always say,
give me a real goal.
They would go, okay, that's nice, but you need to have a backup plan. So I never told you this. So this is how crazy I was. up until the day I was before I graduated, before I walked out of her office the last time, I told her it is the league or nothing. I don't want to do nothing. If I can't make it to the NFL, I don't want to do nothing with my life.
Vontae Mack, no matter what.
And I wrote it down on a piece of paper.
There it is.
She took it and she stuck it. She stuck it up on her wall.
I love it.
It says the league or nothing. And it's the funniest thing because I ended up making it today.
You're Sonny Weaver. Did you know that? You're Sonny Weaver before the draft day script.
They did that?
That's the movie, basically.
Oh, you're talking about that.
Yeah, his guy. That's amazing. Wrote the note and she stuck it.
No matter what.
Up on the wall.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So, yeah. Did you ever come back
and, like, sign it for her? I mean, you wrote it?
I don't know if I ever signed.
Your handwriting, so whatever.
I don't know if I ever signed. I wonder if she still got that note.
Oh, but okay, back to what I was saying, like trying to look at that through my eyes and imagining that. This might sound bad, but I'm thinking what would help you through that, even though you're going to team after team after team and the situations aren't working out in the long haul. You're still so young.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't like started your family yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know you're going to marry Lauren at that point in time.
Yeah.
It's going to happen at some point, but you're going through this journey together. And while that might be hard, those checks have to look so nice.
Oh, yeah.
And there's nothing else that you could be doing at all.
Yeah.
That's going to get you that kind of income at that time in your life. And it's like we say with everything. Now, like we say with the portal, strike while the iron is hot.
Mm-hmm.
You are here. You are now. Live in the present. Do everything you can do to keep this thing going. And what a starting point. You know, the number of people that can say what you can say and, you know, playing for some of those teams and playing in that league, you realize that. You have to.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe you don't as much because you did it.
Yeah, I don't look at it that way. I always look at it like I wish that I would have done more. Like, that's the only thing. Like, I've exhausted everything. There was nothing more that I could do to like make my career go better. It was literally just, it's all about opportunity. And
yeah,
if you don't get that opportunity, it is what it is. But
it's funny. I think about things the same way with my sports radio career, you know?
Yeah.
That's how you got to think.
If you want to be successful,
you do the best that you can. You try to get to a spot that's going to be good for you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, you know, being able to be a part of a community, right?
Yeah.
And that, I think, is what you're part of an NFL community, but you want something with a specific team and with a specific place to last, right?
Yeah.
It's one thing about making some bucks, but it's another thing about being a part of a team for a period of time.
And then the other thing that's motivating is that guys that you play with on your college team is killing it. Like, they're tearing it up in the NFL, and it's like, you don't want to be that guy that's not, you know, like we came from the same place. We all had the same success.
Oh, yeah.
And I watch Mike break the record. I watch Vaughn kill it where he was with the Saints. I watched Joey Bosa win Defensive Player Rookie of the Year. And I just seen all these guys just doing so well. And I'm just like, I'm as good as them. Like, we literally won a championship together. We made plays together. Like, and then you got, like, a guy like Mike. Mike actually would hit me up and be like, you good, bro. Like, just believe it, bro. You good. You got this. And so you got guys just hyping you up. You don't want to let them down.
Yeah.
Like, so it was just a lot that was on my plate that I was just, like I said, I tried.
You know in your heart that you tried, you gave it your all, and man, how many guys can, you know, hang around in that league for 4 years' time?
Oh, that, for an undrafted person?
My goodness.
For an undrafted person, that is really good because you get like two.
Yeah, my goodness, right? All right, well, that was good. Thank you for that. I feel like that was like the LeBron in the barbershop version of the show. Didn't that last 30 minutes just feel like a long-form podcast, Bodeman? Isn't that what that sounded like to you? That's how it kind of went in my head there.
Tyvus, if I was smart enough to take what just happened and get it on YouTube, I could do it.
One day
I'll figure that out.
But I'm racking my brain back
but
here.
But not right now.
Looking at this
Not
stuff.
Tonight.
Not this time. Not tonight.
That was good.
Good stuff. One tweet yesterday made me appreciate one Buckeye in particular a lot more. Looking at some hashtags next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
The only radio station still operating with an active booze cart.
I'm drunk right now.
No, I'm not.
Yes, I am.
The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Social media can be a cesspool. Allow us to navigate the waters. Hashtag Buckeyes.
Sponsored by the Waterworks. Trust the pros at the Waterworks for all your plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling needs. Visit thewaterworks.com today to get started.
Timmy and Tyvus, all you fine Buckeye fans, NFL draft week here. Looking at some tags. And this took me to Joe Gemma. He was the photographer. Had him on some pregame shows in the past. Kind of a unique job that he has where he gets to be really involved with the basketball program and get to know those guys at a personal level and go on the trips and everything.
Yeah, that's nice.
Being the team photographer and doing a lot of things on the digital side. I remember talking to him about, you know, remember some of those funny videos that Buckeye Men's Hoops would throw out? They did one with the jerseys where, you know, they wound up incorrectly, like, getting the icy white uniforms out of the laundry. Justin Arnes and maybe Dwayne Washington were in that one. Like, oh, my God, like, we screwed this up. We put, like, bleach instead of detergent, and we got these beautiful white unis, and that was, like, a little promo for what they were going to wear, which I contend should be their normal uniforms for Buckeye basketball.
Icy white?
The script Buckeyes, and yes, the icy white and the scarlet.
I agree.
Those should be the two, and then the Jim Jackson grays should be the main alternate uniform.
I agree with that.
That's it.
I stamped that.
Okay, I appreciate that. That's good. We're on the same page. Buckeye Hoops, let's do that. Give the people what they want.
Just like
they sell them.
Just like when, for the team, the rivalry, the game, they should wear red and blue.
Okay. As long as it's the normal kits for the Ohio State Michigan game.
The normal what?
The normal uniforms.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy or alternate.
Yeah.
Or like scarlet pants and scarlet. I don't want it to look like the USC UCLA thing.
Have we worn our regular jerseys against them?
Yes.
We have? Okay.
Which I say needs
so
to be.
So it was just my year we did the combat.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. I like alternates. Well, I'm solid with alternates, but we were
successful with them.
So. No. It's not about that. I like alternates. I'm hip with the jive and the newfound way with, you know, we got to, you know, make uniform combinations. You're seeing the NFL throw this out there. The Lions stuff looks fantastic, by the way. But for certain games, it's got to stay classical. But Joe Gemma, on another subject, so this was the guy that threw the tweet out there. He just said, very simply, a couple days ago, we ought to appreciate Bruce Thornton. And I know exactly what he's talking about. And the tone behind that and just how it's fueled because, you know, Felix Okpara jumps in the portal. Roddy Gale jumps in the portal. You're trying to keep a team together. You're trying to get old, right? Mm. You know you're going to have to play the portal, but you'd also like to have a core, at least some recruiting classes here or there, where two or three of the guys come in together. They're good together. They grow together. They develop together. They know each other really well. They have a sense of what each other, you know, likes and the way they play and where they are on the court. And 2/3 of, you know, that good core of that threesome there gone. But Bruce Thornton is going into year three. And I just think it's going to be more and more rare where you see guys that are that good from the get-go, starting as a true freshman, where he gets to stay good, but not good enough to where he's going pro, like Bryce Sensabaugh. Or
Malachi
Branham. I do appreciate Bruce. Really do.
I do, too. Bruce is actually really good. He's a solid guy, and he's somebody that you can build your team around. And I fully expect that he's going to take off one of these years and just excel. But the thing is, now that they got Michi, he's losing a lot of attention because everybody's talking about Michi. Everybody's talking about these transfer guys. Like, the topic has been Trey Townsend, who's not even here. So it's easy right now to get lost in the chaos. But I think everybody that's a true Buckeye fan already appreciates Bruce because he's the one constant thing that's been here for the past.
No, and that's the whole point. That's the whole point of it.
So I don't.
Is he is that guy, and I want. We long to have more guys like him.
But we can't. It's just that
we have to get comfortable with that. And it's just again, like Joey Lane said, we had our guy that we love, our former Buckeye hoops captain, who's been doing stuff with us the last several years, lives in Chicago now. He was on at 6:33. So when you go to download the Buckeye Show podcast, mm-hmm. 10 minutes after we're done here, you re-listen to that interview. He mentioned Bruce, right? And he mentioned being, you know, his group chat with managers and former players where we feel like old men yelling at the clouds.
Yeah.
And it does feel like that. Aren't we entitled at least for 5 minutes to do that?
You got one season with everybody. That's how you got to look at it. The only year that's guaranteed is this one. That's it. Because either they're going to be good enough to go pro or they might transfer. Like that's just the reality.
Tyvus, how many interviews throughout your years, even back to when you were a player, do you think you did with the legendary Dom Tiberi here at our partners with 10 TV?
I worked with Dom all my life. Dom was, when I interned here, it was him, Bo Bishop, and Kayla Anderson was the three people that I shadowed. So I got to be...
Well, Dom and Bo, yeah.
And Dom, Kayla. Bo, and Kayla. With Moose. Moose was there, too.
Moose.
So I got to shadow, and they taught me everything I kind of know today.
Dom tweeted out, he said, it's been a tough week as we say goodbye to my beautiful mom, Betty. After being off the last few days, I'll be back on the air tonight. To the thousands of folks who we've heard from, thank you for your love. Thank you for keeping my mom, my dad, and my family in your prayers. Yeah, she had developed cancer here recently, and it was so sad to hear, just being sort of desk mates with all three, you know, well, it used to be three, but Dave Holmes is now gone, but, you know, Dom and Adam back there. Mm-hmm. And so hearing a lot about this over the last, you know, 3 to 6 months, and in a way I feel like I've been kind of in on everything that has happened just because of the talk. You know, you're there to, you know, someone needs to talk at work. I'm more than happy to lend an ear because having that release, it's helpful. And it's so sad. You're never ready for your mom to pass away. It's just no matter.
No, because it don't matter
how quickly they get sick or how quickly they turn. Ugh,
it don't matter how awful. Old you get. You always gonna need your mom. And
it's your mom.
Yeah,
it's your mom.
To this day, like anytime I have a problem, like my mom just always has to answer, and I couldn't imagine not having her. So I'm praying for Dom and his family because I know that's tough.
Absolutely. Dom, thinking about you, buddy. Like, it's been a tough, tough couple of weeks, and a lot longer than that, too, because how long you're preparing for it and thinking about it. And another thing, too, there's going to be an ESPN 30 for 30 about Butch Reynolds, who is the, you know, famous track athlete and was here at Ohio State. And that's going to be at the Southern Theater tomorrow at, I think, 7 o'clock. So check out that at kappa.com. I'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. But we got some draft talk coming up. Tyvus, thank you so much, buddy. Always love it. The Browns draft preview show up next on The Fan.
An ex-jock and a very puffy, smooth-faced man.
These are the first voices you should hear.
Morning Juice.
Your wake-up service.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan.